Welcome back to the News at Noon. As we've heard and been discussing for the last few weeks, there is a proposed 765 kilovolt power line project that would come through the area. And we've been reporting right along all of these updates and letters from elected officials that are being sent to Mid-States or Mid-Continent Grid Solutions. And I've got two more of them in my hands from Congressman Derek Van Orden. His letter states, "I'm writing in strong opposition to the current proposed routes for the BECI 765 kilovolt transmission line and urge Mid-Continent Grid Solutions to listen to my constituents, who are the landowners, farmers, and communities that will be impacted by this project. I have heard directly from my constituents about the significant impacts of the proposed line. They feel they are being pushed around by your company. This is something I will not stand for. The transmission corridor would impose substantial burdens on them with easements, restrictions on future development, impacts on agricultural operation, property value changes, and environmental changes. The proposed BECI 765 kilovolt transmission line would be going through the geographically unique landscape of the Driftless area, the only Paleozoic plateau region in the continental United States where we are dependent on agriculture and tourism for our economic vitality. I am additionally concerned that there have not been sufficient studies conducted focusing on the potential negative impact on our groundwater due to the construction techniques being proposed. This is completely unacceptable. I am asking that Mid-Continent Grid Solutions review alternative routes, cost options, and construction methods that can utilize existing utility, highway, railroad corridors before impacting any virgin lands in the Driftless. Thank you for your attention to this important matter and your full and fair consideration of this request within applicable laws and regulations. If I can provide you with any additional information, please contact my office. Sincerely, Derek Van Orden, Member of Congress." And just this morning, this one is a joint letter from State Senator Sarah Kieske and State Representatives Karen DeSanto, Tony Kurtz, and Maureen McCarville. All four of their signatures are at the bottom of this letter. "We are writing to express our concern and opposition to Mid-Continent Grid Solutions' plan to file their Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity with the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin for the BECI 765 kilovolt transmission line project in early 2027. We would respectfully ask MGS on behalf of the concerned constituents of Wisconsin's Senate District 14, Assembly District 40, Assembly District 41, and Assembly District 42 who own or live near the land where the proposed line is sited, that MGS postpones their filing with the PSC until after a third round of open house meetings in the spring of 2027. Over the past month, our offices have documented hundreds of constituent contacts regarding the proposed BECI transmission line. In addition, we've spoken in person to hundreds more people out in our communities with valid and varied concerns about this project. A repeated theme from these conversations is people feel utterly blindsided and overwhelmed by the idea of this project, the scope of the proposed build, and the speed at which this process is moving. Specifically, our constituents feel the timeline for the BECI transmission line is too rushed given the tremendous impact it would have on their lives, properties, livelihoods, and communities. Unfortunately, MGS only informed potentially impacted property owners very recently, and the vast majority feel the feedback period is simply not enough time for them to learn about the scope and complexities of this project, identify the entities involved, understand where the route will go and how it might impact them, figure out what the project timeline and their questions answered about why this may be needed, make property-specific requests, and develop and share thoughtful feedback. As such, we strongly support our constituents' demand for more time to offer MGS their public feedback prior to their CPCN submission. As the state senator for Senate District 14 and the assembly representatives for Assembly District 40, Assembly District 41, and Assembly District 42, we were elected to uplift our constituents' voices and advocate on their behalf. As such, we would ask that MGS fulfill their stated goal to be a good neighbor and provide a feedback window of time until at least May 2027. During that time, we would encourage MGS to do more to reach out to affected communities share information, listen to people's perspectives, and see firsthand how this would impact our constituents. Thank you for your time and thoughtful consideration of this request. Please do not hesitate to reach out to our offices with any questions you may have. Again, signed by State Senator Sarah Kieske and State Representatives Karen DeSanto, Tony Kurtz, and Maureen McCarville. In a related story, police have been called to investigate after employees of Dairyland Power Cooperative were targeted with threats and intimidation regarding a proposed regional transmission project, the cooperative's executive team has announced. Dairyland Power, which serves approximately 800,000 residents across rural Midwest communities, is co-developing the Maribel Transmission Project. This project is part of a larger regional effort by the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, or MISO, to modernize the region's aging electric infrastructure. While acknowledging that large infrastructure initiatives often draw public opposition and passionate debate, Dairyland executives reported a dangerous escalation in recent weeks. According to the cooperative, there's been a significant rise in malicious social media activity, including the doxing of employees by sharing their personal details online, endangering them, their families, and their neighbors. The situation escalated further when Maribel team members were recently threatened with violence, prompting law enforcement involvement. In a formal statement, the Dairyland executive team declared that its highest priority is employee safety and that violent threats and intimidation will not be tolerated. Executives emphasized that their teammates work under challenging conditions where safety is already critical and they should not have to fear for their lives while performing their jobs, while stressing that they respect different opinions and the right of landowners and communities to oppose the project. The executive team appealed for cooler heads to prevail, stating that differences of opinion should not become dangerous. The cooperative reiterated its commitment to open and honest public engagement, but maintained that the safety of its colleagues, families, and the public remains paramount. Wisconsin voters will decide the fate of a major constitutional amendment on November 3rd. Which seeks to prohibit governmental entities from discriminating against or granting preferential treatment based on race, sex, color, ethnicity, or national origin. Known as Assembly Joint Resolution 102, the legislatively referred amendment has ignited a sharp debate over equity, public policy, and the role of government programs across the state. On the ballot, a yes vote supports this amendment to prohibit any government entity from discriminating against or granting preferential treatment based on race, sex, color, ethnicity, or national origin in public employment, public education, public contracting, or public administration, whereas a no vote opposes the amendment and its proposed prohibitions. If approved by voters, AJR 102 will establish Section 27 of Article I of the Wisconsin Constitution. This new section would apply broadly to state agencies, local municipalities, public school districts, the technical college system, and the University of Wisconsin system. The measure contains specific exemptions to protect eligibility for federal programs where loss of federal funding would occur, and it allows for bona fide qualifications based on sex when reasonably necessary for normal operations. The amendment's path to the ballot required approval in two consecutive legislative sessions, first introduced as AJR 109 in the 2023-24 session. The proposal passed both chambers with Republican support. In the subsequent 2025-26 session, AJR 102 cleared the state assembly in a 54-45 vote on January 13th of this year and passed the state senate in an 18-15 vote January 21st. Of this year. The voting patterns revealed a stark partisan divide, with all legislative Republicans voting in favor of the measure and all legislative Democrats voting in opposition. Proponents of the amendment, led by lead author Representative Dave Murphy and co-sponsor Senator Stephen Nass, argue that government-sponsored preferences are inherently wrong. Supporters contend that past injustices cannot be corrected through modern discrimination and that public employment, contracting, and education should be administered on a colorblind basis. Organizations like the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty have also backed the amendment. Conversely, opponents argue that the amendment will severely undermine efforts to study and address systemic disparities in Wisconsin. Senator Chris Larson expressed concern that the ban would make addressing unequal life outcomes significantly harder to achieve. Senator Dora Drake criticized the measure as an effort to eliminate historically bipartisan programs and guardrails, noting that the authors did not conduct research on existing programs before proposing the constitutional change. The Richland County Executive and Finance Standing Committee will convene Thursday, September 10th at 5 p.m. in the Richland County Boardroom of the Courthouse in Richland Center. For individuals unable to attend in person, virtual attendance options are accessible through the committee's page on the county's administration website. The agenda highlights several key business items, most notably the discussion and possible action regarding the 2027 draft budget. Staffing adjustments are also on the table as the committee reviews a resolution to approve grade changes. In addition to these open session items, the committee will hold a closed session to deliberate on sensitive issues. These deliberations will cover the county's strategy and position regarding both current and potential contracts for providing emergency medical services, EMS, to certain municipalities. This session will also address threatened or potential litigation related to the county's current EMS delivery plan. Any necessary actions arising from this closed session will be taken after returning to open session. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services reported today that the measles outbreak in southwest Wisconsin has grown to 151 confirmed cases, along with 6 probable cases. While the total number of confirmed cases in Iowa County remains stable at 62, case counts have increased across the regional outbreak, which spans Iowa, Grant, and Lafayette counties. Currently, Lafayette County has recorded 71 confirmed cases and 6 probable cases, while Grant County reports 18 confirmed cases. Health officials state that the rise in cases points to ongoing transmission among individuals who have close contact with previously identified cases. Measles is an exceptionally contagious virus with a transmission rate where 9 out of 10 unvaccinated or unprotected individuals will contract the virus upon exposure. Because symptoms can take up to 21 days to develop, public health officials anticipate more cases may emerge among close contacts. The illness typically begins with symptoms such as fever, cough, runny nose, and red eyes, followed several days later by a distinctive rash starting at the head and spreading downward. Health officials advise anyone exhibiting these symptoms to remain at home and immediately contact their health care provider before seeking in-person medical care to allow clinics to protect staff and other patients. In response, the Iowa County Health Department is collaborating closely with the DHS to identify potential exposures, offer testing, and facilitate vaccinations. Local health officer Debbie Siegenthaler emphasizes a message of prevention, urging the public to check their vaccination status online via the Wisconsin Immunization Registry or through their health care provider. For those who are unvaccinated, health officials strongly recommend receiving the safe and highly effective measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, which has been in use for over 50 years. The MMR vaccine is available at local health departments, pharmacies, and medical clinics. With assistance programs like vaccines for children and vaccines for adults available for those without sufficient insurance coverage. A Waukesha County Circuit Court has ruled that fire protection fees imposed by the villages of Pewaukee and Dousement are unlawful property taxes, striking them down in a decision celebrated by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. The lawsuit filed in 2024 by the WMC Litigation Center on behalf of WMC, two local businesses and a taxpayer, challenged the fees on the grounds that they were structured as annual village-wide assessments. Under Wisconsin state law, such charges must be imposed as per-call fees rather than broad annual assessments. The plaintiffs argued that the villages were using these fees as an illegal tax on residents and business owners. The court agreed with the plaintiff's arguments and struck down the assessments. Scott Manley, WMC Executive Vice President of Government Relations, commended the ruling, noting that it delivers a much-needed win for taxpayers in a state that currently experiences the eighth highest property taxes in the nation. Manley stated that the case was about protecting taxpayers from unlawful taxation schemes and sent a clear message that local governments must follow state law when seeking additional revenue. A school bus transporting the Benton Scales Mound Schulzberg Middle School football team was involved in an accident Tuesday afternoon while traveling to a game in Stockton, Illinois. Fortunately, school officials confirmed that all athletes and coaches walked away from the accident safely. All students were released directly to their parents at the scene. In response to the incident, counselors will be on hand at all three schools today to check on the affected students and any others who may need support. School representatives expressed deep gratitude to the first responders who assisted at the scene and praised the Stockton School District for its support during the situation. They also thanked the community for the overwhelming messages of concern and encouragement. The Richland County Fair gets underway today and runs through Sunday at the Richland County Fairgrounds. Today is livestock entry day until 4 p.m. Tomorrow, there will be animal shows throughout the day. Kaylee Manning is one of the youth who will be showing her animals.
So this year at County Fair, I'm going to be bringing two steers, so two market steers, and Lincoln can sell one, so I'll be selling one market steer. And that animal is one that I think I purchased back last October, and I've worked with it till now, so it's a year plus long project that you work with. And I'm also bringing a homegrown animal, which is something that's like really special to me, because that's one that we've raised and we've had it since it was a calf, and we've helped pull the calves, and you know, it's just something special to me to be able to bring my own cows to the county fair and be like, yeah, I've raised that one. And something you can't beat.
Bristol Nielsen is another participant who will be showing several animals, which includes five sheep and one dairy steer. Preparing the animals takes several hours per week.
I usually spend most of my time with my weather. He's such a sweet boy. I spend a lot of time with him. Mostly, I really like to spend my time growing his leg hair. It's a really popular trend. Think about, like, you have trends in the industry with, like, your clothes or anything like that. You really want your leg wool big and fluffy and all that. You really want to get that leg wool big, and it like makes the legs look bigger than they are. So I really like to spend my time rinsing those legs, getting them clean, putting product in those legs to get them really conditioned, and wrap those legs so he doesn't chew the leg wool off. So I really do that every other day to get his legs clean. So I would say like maybe 15 hours a week.
Also, tomorrow, Mr. Ed's Magical Midway opens at 5 o'clock and will run each day during the fair. Featured events include on Friday, the Southwest Pullers Truck and Tractor Pull at 6:30. Saturday is Children's Day. Events include Kids in Agriculture Activities at 9 o'clock, a pedal pull at 3, and the Meat Animal Sale at 5 p.m. And a demolition derby at 7 o'clock. Sunday at 11 will be the Little Britches Showmanship Contest. All weekend, you can view animals, tour exhibits, enjoy delicious food, and more. Gate prices Friday and Saturday are $5, and tomorrow and Sunday are free. You can find the full schedule of events by going online at richlandcountywi.gov or on the Richland County Fairgrounds Facebook page. Consumers look for help when they have their identity or money stolen through a scam. Unfortunately, when trying to find someone reliable to assist them, consumers can fall victim to a recovery scam. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
In a recovery scam, this scammer impersonates those trusted resources like that government agency, law firm, or that consumer support organization, and they claim that they can help a consumer recover from a scam loss. That scammer then claims that they can help recover that stolen money or identity for a price, But really, they're just being targeted by the scammers all over again. And we did hear from a consumer who reported that after they lost $5,000 to a cryptocurrency scam, they were contacted by what they thought was a reputable company claiming they could help get the consumer's money back. And the consumer transferred another $500 to this company through what they thought was a legitimate platform, but soon realized the website was just a convincing copy of a real platform and was actually controlled by this scammer. And of course, that scammer refused to refund that $500. And so the consumer lost even more money.
As with many scams, there are warning signs that consumers should be aware of to alert them to find a more reliable source for help.
If you're offered help or recovery services after being scammed, please remember that scammers make money through urgency and emotional manipulation, and they rely on convincing consumers to act before they pause to think carefully about the situation. And that's what we want everyone to do, just pause and think through it. Ignore unsolicited offers. If you want help with recovery, seek that out directly from real agencies and organizations. I mean, come to DadCap. We're free. And be skeptical of requests for upfront fees. After payments delivered, there's no guarantee that you'll ever get those services that you've been promised. And if the fraudulent payment is sent to the scammer through the cryptocurrency kiosk, remember, file that report about those stolen funds within 30 days to the kiosk operator as well as law enforcement in hopes that we can help get your money back.
If you need help recovering money, or you can contact DatCap's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wi.gov. A 72-year-old bicyclist from Waterloo, Wisconsin, was hospitalized Monday evening after being struck by a car on County Road I in the town of Portland. According to the Dodge County Sheriff's Office, the crash occurred at approximately 7:10 p.m. on Monday. An initial investigation indicates that a 2023 Audi, driven by a 46-year-old female from Waterloo, was traveling south on County Road I when it struck a southbound bicycle ridden by a 72-year-old male, also from Waterloo. The bicyclist, who was wearing a helmet during the collision, sustained injuries and was transported by Waterloo EMS to UW Hospital. The driver of the Audi was not injured. First responders assisting at the scene included the Waterloo Police Department and Waterloo EMS. The incident remains under investigation by the Dodge County Crash Investigation Team. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, in partnership with the University of Wisconsin Athletic Department, is once again offering free tickets to veterans and service members for this year's Wisconsin Badgers Salute to Veterans football game. The Badgers are set to take on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights at Camp Randall Stadium Saturday, November 7th, with the kickoff time still to be determined. In addition to the game, attendees will have the opportunity to visit the recently opened Camp Randall Veterans Memorial Plaza. Located adjacent to the stadium in Camp Randall Memorial Park, the plaza serves as a tribute to those who served and is open to the public both during and after the game. Due to a limited supply, tickets will be distributed through a lottery system. Eligible veterans and active service members can register online to receive up to 2 free tickets by visiting wisvetsports.com. The registration window is open now and will close promptly Monday, September 14th at 5 p.m. Lottery winners will be selected and officially announced by Friday, September 26th. For ongoing updates, reminders, and additional event information, the WDVA encourages participants to follow their official pages on Facebook and Instagram.